Hello, everybody, and welcome in to another special podcast right here on Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zaglul, and on today's show, we're welcoming back a very special guest. He's joined us twice in the past. He's a legendary Bears running back, and he always provides an amazing interview. And today, you'll be able to listen to another interview with him in just a few moments. Before we get started, make sure to follow us on Twitter, at ChiTalkSports, and hit me up personally. On Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zaglul. Today's show is brought to you by Moochie World, where inspiration meets creation. Call 708-247-2100 to book parties, paint your own pottery, and have art classes for adults and children. Moochie World, creativity at its finest. And by the Windy City Thunderbolts. Get ready for the team's 2019 season as they celebrate their 20th anniversary. Purchase tickets right now at 708-489-2255. Again, that's 708-489-2255 for your chance to be a part of history this summer in Crestwood. Well, I'm really looking forward to today's show, mostly because we're welcoming back a very special and loyal guest to the program. And keep in mind, this is a guy who played in the NFL for 12 years. He played with the Bears for 3 and played a major role in their Super Bowl appearance. And as I mentioned in the opening, he's very candid. He's very open and honest about his career and what he does today, which is why I personally always look forward to bringing him back on the show. Today, specifically, we'll be looking back at the Bears' 2018 season and how it ended. We'll also talk about his career and his role in the NFL, and finally, take a look at his new movie, A Violent Man, premiering this Friday in theaters and on iTunes and Amazon. At this time, I'd like to thank you for your continued support of this podcast, and I hope you enjoy what's to come. It's now time for our special guest. He began his NFL career in 2000, being drafted 7th overall by the Arizona Cardinals. Just 4 years later, he became a Chicago Bear, leading the team in rushing for 3 consecutive years while guiding the team to a Super Bowl appearance. Today, he's one of 31 running backs all-time to reach 10,000 rushing yards. And now, he's a successful actor with his new movie, A Violent Man, coming out this Friday. Please welcome Thomas Jones back to the show. Thomas, how are you doing today? And thank you again for being here on the show.
Hey, I'm doing great, and thanks for having me.
So, Thomas, I think it's only fitting that we start today with the Bears and their disappointing finish to the 2018 season. What were your initial reactions to Cody Parkey's missed kick, and do you feel that all of this blame should be placed on him or on other missed opportunities throughout the game?
Well, I think, obviously, it's a team game, and there are a lot of plays over the course of the game that could have put them in a better situation, so they wouldn't have had to rely on that kick. So it's a kind of tricky question because although it's a team game, they did, as a team, put themselves in that position at the end to have a chance to win, which was, his job to make the kick. That's why, you get paid the big bucks in the NFL. You've got the weight of the whole city on your shoulders and, a possible Super Bowl championship, literally that's the prize. And, it's tough. I hated it for the kid, for the kicker. I hated it for the team. I hated it for the fans. I was actually on a plane. Headed back from Miami to L.A., and the game was on the plane. And so, you could hear a pin drop at that moment. The flight was so quiet. Everyone was watching. And as soon as he missed it, you had people cheering. You had people, upset. I don't know. I don't know, man.
Do you think that, number one, is this a kick that should have been made? Obviously being paid the big bucks, as you mentioned, to be in the NFL. So is this one that should have been made? And since it wasn't, what do you think about Cody Parkey's future now with the Bears?
Well, nothing's a guarantee, in life in general, and especially in football. One of my running backs coaches used to say, football, in college, high school, college is a game of inches, but in the pros, it's a game of half inches, and it really is. It's that close. I think the ball may have been partially tipped a little bit as well, But, you know, I think he had a track record of kind of hooking some of his kicks as well over the course of the season. So I think he may have had, you know, a track record of doing that. So, yeah, I mean, that's the nature of the game. You know, it's high-stakes poker in the NFL, especially when you get to the playoffs. You know, I definitely would say that that's a kick that, you know, you have to make. You know, I think it was tipped. So that's why I said it's a very tricky kind of situation there, because it was tipped a little bit, but also Cody's had a history of hooking the kicks. You know, what I realized is after he made the first one, before they called the timeout, he lowered his head. And when he lowered his head, kind of in disappointment that they were icing him, I didn't think that was a good sign. It showed me that he definitely wasn't looking forward to kicking it again.
And only 5 days after the kick, he made an appearance on the Today Show, talking about his miss, even laughing about what happened. If you were a teammate of his right now, what would you say to him after seeing all of that unfold, seeing him go on this national media tour just days after ending the season, in effect, for the Bears?
I definitely wouldn't have done that. You know, clearly you're devastated. One of the worst things that could happen to you in your sports career, either, you know, miss a kick or fumble or turn the ball over or miss a tackle or, you know, some big play that you could make to, you know, take your team and your city to the next step. So I definitely wouldn't have gone on any show to talk about it at that point. I'm not sure what his motivation was for going on the Today Show. I have no idea why you would do that. But I guess he felt maybe he needed to explain himself. Really, there's nothing to explain. You know, the whole country saw it, the play. I definitely wouldn't have approved of him going on the show. I wouldn't have understood his motivation. But then again, you know, I'm not him, so I guess to each his own.
How far do you think this Bears team could have went had they had an effective kicker and had they made that kick? I mean, some were comparing this year's team to the team that you were a part of in 2006, which the team that obviously went to the Super Bowl. Do you think that comparison's accurate? And what do you think this 2018 team was truly capable of?
I think they had a great team. They had an incredible defense. They had some playmakers on offense. Very, very good young quarterback that was poised in those kind of, you know, those kind of pressure situations. You know, he made the big throw at the end there, you know, to put him in field goal position. I think they could have gone far, especially playing in Chicago. It's a very, very tough place to play, especially to get deep into the playoffs. You know, I mean, it's literally the 12th man, and no one wants to come there and play during the season, especially in the playoffs. So I definitely think that they had a nice, they had a great, great chemistry as a team. They were very confident, similar to how we were, I believe, in 05, almost identical. You know, just kind of a team that just came out of nowhere. You know, in 04 when I came to the Bears, we had some really, really good players, and we had a lot of injuries and things of that nature. So we had a lot of younger guys that had to step up, and other guys came in to kind of replace. And then the next year, you know, we just kind of found our way, you know, over the course of the season, and ended up, I think, 11-5, and had this similar situation. You know, bye week, and we lost the first game at home to Carolina after the bye week. And then the next week, we go to the Super Bowl. So I definitely feel, you know, if they can keep the team together, if management can keep, you know, all the key people there and bring in other people that can help them, I definitely think they can get to the Super Bowl the next season, just like we did. I mean, I wish, you know, I would have had another shot in Chicago to play, you know, after the season, went to the Super Bowl. I wish I would have had another chance. So I really truly feel like at that time, if we would have stayed healthy that next season, we would have been favorites to win the Super Bowl. But, you know, hindsight's 20/20. But I definitely feel like this team next year is going to be a favorite to make it to the Super Bowl.
Thomas Jones here on Sports Talk Chicago. And, Thomas, you mentioned this team's offense. I wanted to ask you about Jordan Howard, the Bears' starting running back. This year, it took him a while to get going. He had some problems early involved with running the ball and getting lots of touches. So, being a running back yourself, number one, why do you think Jordan Howard struggled? And number two, and this is more so of a broad question, when you were running back, did you feel that it was more important for you to get lots of carries in order to be more successful, or is it the opposite? Do you just need some time to start getting going on offense?
I think Jordan definitely, you know, can kind of answer that question, both questions in one. He needs more carries. I think that's kind of why he didn't have as much production. You know, you can only have production if you're getting opportunities, and obviously they had other great players on offense that were making plays. But I think as a running back, the more you get to touch the ball, the more you get a chance to get in a groove, the more you get a chance to figure out what the defense is doing, what the linebackers are doing, what the D-line's doing, the secondary's doing. And then you kind of get in a zone where you're able to adjust to what they're doing. If you're only getting so many carries, eventually as a running back, you're going to feel the pressure to make a play. And there may be, instead of letting the play happen, you decide to make a play because you don't know when you're going to get the ball again. It just puts more pressure on you. Definitely as a running back, you want the ball. Any offensive player wants the ball as many times as they possibly can to make a play. But as a running back, you know, you're relying on the offensive line, to block and receivers to block downfield. So, you're relying on a lot to be able to be productive. And if you don't have enough carries, there's just no way that you can make that happen.
How does this compare to your time in Arizona? Because in your first couple of seasons, you didn't even get 200 carries. You were averaging under 4 yards per carry. Then you go to Tampa Bay and then the Bears, and all of a sudden, those numbers really jumped. Do you think that had something to do with it, getting more carries, improving your performance?
Yeah, definitely. Also, in Arizona, we really just weren't that good as a team. We had our offensive line, wasn't as good. Our defense definitely wasn't as good. If you have a defense that's, last in the league and stopping the run, you're usually playing from behind where you're going to have to throw to try to stay in the game. And, by the time you get out there, their defense is fresh because the other team's offense has been on the field the majority of the day, so the defense is fresh and wired. We haven't had a chance to wear them down. I think there's a lot of factors that play into that. In Tampa, we had a really good defense. Chicago, we had a really good defense. We had an incredible offensive line. We knew we were going to get 9-10 guys in the box. It didn't matter to us. We didn't care. Bring it on. We didn't even rely on our passing game because our passing game wasn't one of the tops in the league. But we had some incredible, receivers that made plays, tight ends that made plays. We were a run-first team. And in Tampa, like I said, we had an incredible defense that created turnovers and continued to give us the ball, so there were more chances for me to get carries.
Going to the 2006 team again, you with the Bears, you guys obviously made it to the Super Bowl, and in the big game, you rushed for 112 yards. And it's interesting because at one point, you guys were up by 8, and it seemed like you guys were destined to win the Super Bowl. What would you say was the main factor as to why the tide changed and the Colts ended up coming back to win?
I'm not sure. In the Super Bowl, obviously we ended up getting down, getting behind, and in the heat of the moment, decisions were made, based off instinct or impulse or part of whatever strategy that we figured would work. And unfortunately, we weren't able to pull it off, which is why, I'm here actually in Atlanta right now working on a TV show filming, and, I won't have the Super Bowl on, I haven't had it on for the last 12 years, it's just tough to watch, and I'm in Atlanta where all the Super Bowl festivities are, which makes it even harder sometimes. I don't know, I think about that a lot. I think about the Super Bowl a lot, and especially around the playoff time and what could have been, if we would have won. It's a really important game in your life and a really important moment in your life. And if you don't maximize it and take advantage of it, then you're kind of left with this empty feeling that I think a lot of guys have that have lost the Super Bowl. I know a lot of the guys from the Bears. I know someone will call me today. Well, I'll call one of those guys and say, how do we lose that game? Because this time of year brings back those kind of memories. But I'm happy for any team that goes to the Super Bowl and wins. It's an incredible accomplishment. And, you know, I wish both teams the best today.
Would you say that not winning a Super Bowl was your biggest regret as a player? Because after the Bears, too, you had an opportunity with the Jets. You made it to the AFC Championship game and lost there as well. So after being so close on two separate occasions, what's it like for you to retire without a Super Bowl ring?
It's tough. It's tough, especially when you play 12 years. You know, I mean, you know, there's levels to your career. Obviously, initially you're playing to establish yourself and, you know, become a key player on your team and hopefully a star player in the league. And then, you know, then you love to play to, you know, get another contract. And then, you know, I mean, there's a point where a Super Bowl ring is the only thing you have left to accomplish. And that was it for me. You start getting into 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, you know, you realize you don't have a Super Bowl ring. You know, it's a little, you start to panic a little bit. And you're still hoping that 1 year you're going to be able to get it, and then all of a sudden your career's over. And you're like, wow, I never got it. You know, especially when you came so close, you know, in one Super Bowl and then the AFC Championship game to have a chance to go to another one. It's very, very disappointing. But I'm also proud of my accomplishments and proud of what I was able to do. I was able to overcome a tough start in Arizona and turn my career around and become one of the top rushers in the NFL history. And sometimes I look at the NFL rushing list and some of the guys that are ahead of me and some of the guys that I'm in front of, and it's kind of surreal. You know, I mean, this is the NFL. It's been around forever. It's been some incredible running backs, incredible players to come through this league. And then to be in the tops and as far as statistically for running backs, and then be able to play for the Chicago Bears, teams like that are just storied franchises, and have a fan base there that appreciates you and loves you. I couldn't ask for much more. I mean, it's really incredible to be a retired player and then be on social media and be able to engage with the fans that, you know, I haven't played in front of in, you know, 12 years, and they still have love for you.
What was the key for you to revitalizing your career? Because, as you mentioned, you had some tough seasons to start in Arizona, and then you come to Tampa Bay and then the Bears, and things really take off. What was the key to you to revitalizing everything and becoming this storied running back?
I think mainly it was just reinventing myself as a player. You know, my goal in high school was to get a scholarship, and my goal in college was to get drafted. My goal was never to be a superstar in the NFL. It was get there first. And I think once I made it to the NFL, I was in such a tough place in Arizona where, you know, you go to arguably the worst team in the league. You know, the way the system was run at that time, there wasn't a big emphasis on winning. I don't think at the time the organization was as dedicated to winning as it is now. So being a rookie, you know, you're coming in and you're seeing how things operate. And so, you know, you become a part of that culture. And so I had never been at that low of a point in my football career. I'd always been on top. I've always been the best player on my team. I'd always been the best running back in whatever division or conference I was in. Out of high school, I was the second-rated running back in the country. In college, I was the first-team consensus All-American, two-time All-ACC first-team running back. I mean, I had always had that success. And so, you know, I had to do a lot of soul-searching and reinvent myself as an NFL player and come up with new goals. And I was fortunate enough to have a chance to do that once I left Tampa and went to Arizona. Arizona and went to Tampa. And I think just my mindset changed. You know, I needed to become bigger as far as just physically, stronger physically to be able to be a feature back in the NFL. I needed to watch more film. I needed to, dedicate myself to the game like I had never done before, and that's what I did. Now you look years later, and all the accomplishments are there because of that.
I wanted to now shift to some NFL free agency news, and more specifically, Le'Veon Bell and his contract situation. Now, he's held out all season. Now he's going to be a free agent. because he wants to be paid more so as a running back and wide receiver. As a running back yourself, what are your thoughts on Bell's logic, and does he deserve to be paid what he's asking for?
I definitely think he deserves to be paid what he's asking for. I mean, I'm not biased because he's a running back, but I definitely understand his value to the team. You know, there's certain backs and certain players that are special. You know, obviously you've got, Todd Gurley, and you've got the kid from the Cowboys, Ezekiel Elliott. You know, you've got these certain players that are, you know, at the top tier that want to be paid. You know, Le'Veon Bell is a very special back. He's produced over the years. He's definitely a back you have to game plan for if you're a defense. He's a game changer. The defensive coordinator's nightmare. I definitely think that he should be paid. You know, I know what it's like to not want to be locked into yearly situation. You know, you want a team to commit to you like you're committing to them. And, you know, a lot of people forget that the NFL is business. You know, although we took a lot of heat for holding out this season. But at the same time, I mean, you know, this is his career. It's his body. He's been, you know, going through punishment for a team that, you know, he felt wasn't committed to him. You know, it's business first. And unfortunately, sometimes people don't understand that because they just want to see you play. But this is our livelihood. You know, there's a lot of consequences that we take playing this game. And you want to be compensated, fairly. And, it's a numbers game. I know it seems like, you know, a lot of money. I know people are like, well, somebody would offer me, you know, however much money per year to turn down. But it's, you know, it's not that simple. You know, when you're dealing with millions and millions of dollars, it's a totally different type of numbers game. So I definitely hope the kid gets paid, sure.
How does Bell's stance factor into your career? I mean, do you think that you yourself were underappreciated, and do you feel that you should have been given a fairer contract or a fairer deal when you played? Because you jumped around a little bit. The Bears decided not to re-sign you after your third season there. You go to the Jets, then the Chiefs. How do you think Bell's situation factors in and relates to your career?
I feel like going to Arizona for me was the gift and the curse. I feel like it was a tough start for me on the field. And so, obviously, that was kind of the curse part of it because, I had to sit and watch Jamal Lewis and Sean Alexander and all these other guys that came in with me, you know, get off to a head start. But the gift is this showed me that the NFL is business first. And so I never took the business side personal with teams. A lot of players take things personal with their teams. What you have to realize is this isn't college. This isn't high school. You're not playing for team spirit. You're not playing for free. You know, you sign a contract and you have a business transaction. So, I think that was the best thing that came out of Arizona is me having to start to play with a chip on my shoulder and reinvent myself and also understand that it's business. So each team that I went to, I was not surprised when a business decision came up. And I didn't take it personal. I was prepared to move on to the next team based off of whatever the business was. I played on five different teams, so I don't think his situation is similar to mine in that regard. But I definitely understand what it's like to go out there and produce and be underpaid. Teams have the luxury of cutting you when they don't want to pay you. But then when you want to be compensated fairly for the work you're putting in, then it's a problem. A double-edged sword and a double standard that's not right. So like I said, I stand with anyone that is outplaying their contract and they're asking the team to, meet them halfway or pay them fairly. I think that's a fair request.
You know, you mentioned the business side of things, and you talked about how earlier in your career in high school and college, you played part of team spirit, first of all, and secondly, you played to get to the next level. When did you realize in the NFL that it was all about a business, and how did that change your perception of the game you loved as a kid? I mean, growing up, playing football, and then getting to the big leagues and realizing that this is all about business and not about just the love of the game.
Well, I realized it gradually in Arizona, but it really hit me in my third year. I had an accident, and I broke my hand my third year in Arizona, and because I didn't do it on the field, they put me on the non-football injury reserve team, which I had no idea existed. And basically, they opted out of paying me for my last 8 games because I didn't do it on the field. And that's when I realized, oh, wow, this is business. And so for the last 8 weeks of the season, you know, we were in conflict. I was in conflict with the team, and we just were on horrible terms to the point to where after I broke my hand, you know, I basically, through my agent, you know, they wanted me to come to work every day, although they were not going to pay me. And I was like, well, if you're not going to pay me, then why do I have to come to work? And so for the last 8 weeks of the season, I didn't go, and they didn't care. So, you know, although I was under contract, I mean, they decided, you know, they made the decision to not pay me, and I made the decision to not go. So, you know, last eight weeks of the season, my teammates are playing and at home, you know, during the game, or I'm in Virginia with my family, or, you know, doing something else. So it was awkward because it's the first time I'd ever experienced something like that, not being around my teammates during the season. And then they waited all the way until close to the season, the next season to start, before they traded me to Tampa. Because I had a trade request, you know, there were several teams that wanted to trade for me, but they continued to pass. And then they went out and signed Emmitt Smith, and they re-signed Marcel Schipp to a longer-term deal. And I knew I would be the odd man out. And then, fortunately for me, something happened where I was able to get traded to Tampa. But that was kind of a reality check. Hey, you know, this is business first. And if you don't realize that, you're going to find yourself in some tough situations in your career.
How can you not take that personally, though? I mean, and it's a credit to you for realizing that the NFL is a business, but, I mean, that's a way in which you're sitting out for 8 weeks, you're trying to leave, and you can't. I mean, how did you manage to get through that situation and realize that it wasn't personal and bounce back from that?
Well, at the time, I took it personal. At that time, I did. You know, it was my third year in the NFL, and I had no idea that that was an option. I had been loyal to the team. You know, things hadn't worked out production-wise, but, you know, I was sharing carries with Michael Pittman, and, you know, like I said, we weren't that good overall. You know, our first year we were, I think, 3-11, and the next year we got better. We were 7-9. And then I think my third year is when I started coming into my own. I think against Seattle, I had about 180 yards or 170 yards at Seattle, second game of the season. And I was second or first in the NFC in rushing after the first 2 weeks. And so I felt like, okay, this is, you know, turning point now. And then I had an injury, an ankle injury that, you know, kept me out. And then I had the hand injury. As soon as my ankle started to get back, I had the hand injury. So I did take it personal because I felt like I was on my way to get my first 1,000-yard season. And they, you know, I broke my hand. And so, you know, obviously they didn't pay me. So I took it serious. I took it personally. I mean, I lost out on a lot of money. You know, as a 23-year-old, you know, young NFL player, I mean, you're practicing your butt off and playing and working out and doing all the things you need to do. And the team just says, well, you know, we're not going to give you the remaining salary for the rest of the season. So I did take it personal initially, but it opened my eyes to the business side. And from that point on, I didn't take anything personal. I just expected it.
Well, I wanted to now move to your acting career. I know your new movie, A Violent Man, premieres this Friday in theaters and online for reference. Here it's going to be in Crestwood in Chicago. Tell me about what to expect and also your experience with being the lead actor in this film.
This film, I'm very, very proud of the film. It's a suspense thriller. You know, it's set in an MMA backdrop as far as my character. Ty Matthews is a struggling fighter that finds himself in a really bad situation where he's the prime suspect in a murder case. But I felt like this character, I've been acting out since 2013, and I've had a lot of supporting roles in, you know, a lot of really cool shows like Shameless and Straight Outta Compton and Luke Cage on the Marvel show, being Mary Jane with Gabrielle Union. I mean, I've done a lot of things in a short period of time. But, you know, I felt like it was time for me to kind of transition into producing my own content and then taking my career to the next level by becoming a lead in my own project. You know, and a lot of people are kind of scared to do that because it's a lot of pressure on you as the lead. You have to carry the film. But I wanted the pressure, no different than I wanted the ball every play. You know, in football, it was the same thing. So, yeah, I was in pre-production on this film for about 3 months with the director, Matthew Berkowitz, who also wrote the script. And I was able to go in and kind of tweak the script a little bit with him. So it was an incredible process. We shot, I cast the film, I produced the film from A to Z, and then after the film, I edited the film with the director, did everything from, like I said, A to Z with the film, and now it'll be in theater. So I'm very proud of it, and I'm excited to see what the reaction is from, especially the fans and the fans that go check it out in the theaters and on demand on iTunes and Amazon this Friday.
What's the sense of accomplishment there? I mean, as you mentioned, doing everything from A to Z versus you playing in football and, let's say, scoring a touchdown. So, like, comparing your time in football versus your time developing an entire movie and shooting it and acting in it, what's that comparison with the sense of accomplishment there?
Pretty much going into the NFL championship game week of practice, right? So, you know, you go in on Monday and you watch film and you you know, a quick workout in for Monday. You get the game plan. You study the game plan. Tuesday's your day off. I said that in quotation marks. But you're in there. I'm getting a workout in. I'm watching more film. I'm in the cold tub. And then Wednesday is a hard practice because you're installing everything. And then Thursday is a hard practice as well. You know, doing third downs. And then on Friday, you're doing red zone, short yards, and goal line. Saturday, you know, you're resting up, but you're still watching film and you're antsy. And then, bam, you know, Sunday you're at Soldier Field, and it's on. It's game time. So that's the process. The process of Monday through Saturday is, you know, pre-production, writing the script, casting it, finding locations, and then getting on set. Shooting the film, shooting each scene, and took us 17 days. Then post-production, you know, which is 3 months, 4 months of editing the film. And then trying to find a distribution company, which is taking your film around Hollywood, taking your film everywhere. Hey, check out my film. We'd love for you to distribute it. We'd love for you to put it in theaters. So it's always, and then someone bites and says, hey, we love the film. And then they give you a date, and it gets pushed back, and then it continues. This film has been pushed back 3 times for different reasons. And then finally, bam, you're locked in with a date. And then Sunday would be the championship game against the Saints would be the equivalent of this Friday when the film actually hits theaters and is available online. That's kind of the process.
And Thomas, before we let you go today, what has the transition been like for you from being a world-class athlete, being a superstar in the NFL, to now an actor appearing in all these big films and making your own film? Because I know at first that you weren't necessarily into acting, you didn't want to get into it, then you did. So what changed your mind, and how much have you enjoyed being an actor?
I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Sometimes things happen in your life that you didn't even know you needed, and this was one of them. I'm a very, very focused, dedicated, ambitious, intense person. Always have been that way. That's just what drives me. And I'm always interested in evolving, no matter what it is in life. And I'm very fortunate that I was able to find acting and kind of fall into this space because it helped me basically get over football. Because, you know, once you play a certain amount of years in the NFL, you know, football becomes like your dance part. You know, it's your partner in crime. You know, after our season would be over, you know, I would only take maybe 2 weeks off and I'm right back in the gym. But a lot of guys may take 2 months or 3 months, or they won't start working out until the team starts in March. I'm already training year round. So it just becomes your life. And unfortunately, it comes to an end. The beautiful thing about acting is, you know, it doesn't have to come to an end. You can constantly evolve as an actor. You can learn a new language. You can learn how to dance. You can learn how to play an instrument. You can learn a new accent and play different characters. So I think this has given me something that I won't get tired of. I won't be too old to do. And it's given me a chance to really meet some great people and people that I've been able to learn from and and relationships that I've made similar to football. I've got lifelong friends in football because it's such a unique job, and what we do is so unique that, you know, we kind of understand and speak each other's language. And it's the same thing as an actor. I'm on set now working on a show called Tales, T-A-L-E-S. It's a 2-hour premiere episode of a big season coming out on Viacom Networks TV. It'll be on VH1, MTV, and BET across the globe. And so I'm one of the lead characters. And just talking to some of these incredible actors, Isaiah Washington, who's an incredible actor, Elijah Kelly, an incredible actor, J. Alphonse Nicholson. These are all people that I've seen work over the years. And now I'm on set with them, and we're sharing acting stories. And they're football fans as well, so it's kind of weird for them because they've seen me play for the Bears, and then now they're sitting here with me talking about acting techniques and Meisner and Stanislavski, and we're talking about all this stuff. So it's just been an incredible, incredible experience. I'm excited about the film coming out Friday. I truly adore all the Bears fans. I'll greatly appreciate, you know, them checking out the film. You know, they can also get it on Amazon and on iTunes as well. I tweet the link out on my social media pages, so they'll be able to get it. It'll be available in theaters as well as on Amazon and iTunes on Friday simultaneously. So, yeah, man, I'm anxious to see what they think.
Well, Thomas, thank you so much for being here on the show. This was your third time on. It's always a pleasure, and hope to have you on again soon.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure to be on your show. Thanks for reaching out.
What an honor it was to have Thomas Jones back here on the show as we talk with him about his amazing NFL career, his new movie coming out this Friday, plus some current Chicago Bears news. It's always a pleasure talking with Thomas because he gives very candid and open answers about his career and what he went through. I mean, you heard some of the stories that he told, and it's always interesting to see the other side of football. As he mentioned, seeing the business side, again, just very nice of him to spend some time with us on today's show. Well, that does it for us here at Sports Talk Chicago. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Chi-Talk Sports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zaglua. Also, make sure to subscribe to the website. You can find the subscription box on the homepage of the site. Simply type in your email, click yes on the confirmation email, and from there, you'll be subscribed. You'll receive every new podcast and article directly to your email. And remember, Sports Talk Chicago is now on iTunes and Google Play. Simply search Sports Talk Chicago, and every podcast from the 2018-19 calendar year is now available. Feel free to leave us a 5-star rating and or write a review. Your support is greatly appreciated. And finally, if you enjoyed today's podcast, tune in to my new radio show every Monday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on 88.5 WHBK-FM Chicago. You'll still hear my same hard-hitting Chicago sports opinions. Plus, we'll add special segments and, of course, very special guests on each show. Again, that's every Monday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on 88.5 WHPK-FM Chicago. Thank you again for listening in to today's show, and have a great day.